Welcome to the Vietnam Rising Podcast, where we have a discussion with the shakers and movers individuals in Vietnam about the opportunities in the business scene. I am your host, Minh Tham, and let's tune in to catch the inspiring stories, business opportunities, and how to navigate your way in this rising economy. Welcome everybody to the first episodes of Vietnam Rising. I am your host, Minh Tham, and today I'm very happy to be here with my friend Jeff, aka Jiho from Axie Infinity. And Jeff, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Super excited to be here.
Yeah, so Jeff, he is the co-founder of Axie Infinity, and this is a blockchain game that allow users to collect pets, digital pets like Pokemon, and they can actually earn money from playing the app. So tell me, Jeff, like, so you told me about a story about you left New York 1.5 years ago and you move across the world to Vietnam to start this project. How has it been for you, and why do you decide to do it?
Definitely. So around a year and a half ago, I was working in kind of the traditional startup space, and I read this book called Zero to One by Peter Thiel, and mm-hmm. that really got me thinking. Like, I wanted to be kind of creating a new market rather than just kind of improving on kind of existing products. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of my friends that were really smart were interested in cryptocurrencies, specifically Ethereum and smart contracts. Mm-hmm. So thinking about like kind of new and novel applications for blockchain technology. So I started doing some research, but it wasn't until I learned about blockchain games and non-fungible tokens through something called CryptoKitties mm-hmm. that I, you know, got super kind of fascinated with everything that was going on. So I became like a CryptoKitty player, met a lot of like really interesting people, and mm-hmm. Within the CryptoKitty community is actually where I met some of the other Axie co-founders, and yeah, they happened to be Vietnamese. Mm-hmm. And I you know, worked on Axie for a couple of months, and things were going really well, and you know, the rest of the founders, co-founders, wanted me to move out to Vietnam, and you know, I kind of just jumped on the opportunity. I've always wanted to live in Asia. I've always wanted to live in a different country. Mm-hmm. Especially like, you know, I was almost, I guess I'm almost 30 now, so it seemed like a good time to do it. Uh-huh. And so I came out, and it's been an amazing experience.
So. Wow, that's awesome. So tell me more about the Axie Infinity. So what is the game about, and what is your philosophy design behind it?
Sure, so Axie Infinity is a digital pet universe. Mm-hmm. Players can battle, they can raise, they can collect mm-hmm. These cute fantasy creatures called Axies. Mm-hmm. And basically, you know, because we use blockchain technology, mm-hmm. we're able to kind of create different incentives and mechanisms within the game that allow our players to earn money. Mm-hmm. So just like normal kind of animals mm-hmm. or pets, like Axies can breed together. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, we actually very carefully control the Axie population, so that in order to produce an Axie, you actually have to put in some time and effort and, you know, actually interact with our application. Mm-hmm. Because there's, you know, time and effort involved, and the Axie population is kind of, there's a controlled growth rate, people are actually able to kind of, you know, play the game, breed Axies, and then sell the offspring for a profit if they want to. Mm-hmm. There are also certain Axies that are very rare, mainly things like Origin and Mystic Axies, which are kind of like the first editions that mm-hmm. were just released when the game started. And so a lot of people collect those, and over time, you know, they've gradually risen in price. So there's also the kind of, yeah, collecting aspect to the game as well.
Okay, wow. So what is the, like, how is the blockchain technologies implemented to this game?
Sure. So each Axie exists as a non-fungible token, which basically just means a unique token, because mm-hmm. each Axie has different body parts, genes, mm-hmm. And those are actually reflected in the data that each token has attached to it. Mm-hmm. We also have things like in-game currencies that exist as tokens as well. Mm-hmm. So right now, for example, people are playing the alpha of our application, and one of the kind of core gameplay loops that's developed is people will farm these breeding potions. They're actually called love potions.
Okay.
And those love potions actually exist as tokens that are freely tradable. So players will kind of farm those tokens, and they're actually able to sell them on a decentralized exchange called Uniswap. So one of the cool things about a blockchain game is because there's certain aspects of it that are on the blockchain and smart contract based, they can actually be hooked up to other decentralized applications, like Uniswap, which is a decentralized exchange. It's basically an exchange for cryptocurrencies that relies on smart contracts, which are kind of like, I guess, like money vending machines. Like
I
you just
see.
Input something and something comes out. So,
but what does that is? How does that difference than open source?
Sure. So I think like one of the interesting things that crypto solves is how do you incentivize contribution to open source or community driven projects, right?
Yeah.
So what we see in Axie is that because our players actually own literal stakes, stakes within the game, represented by their game assets, they are then kind of incentivized to evangelize the game, spread it to people, because they know that as the game gets more popular, they have a monetary incentive, and they can actually benefit.
I see. So it's that's very interesting. So is your team right now is in Vietnam, like the entire operations tier, or only like certain part of it?
Yeah, definitely. So we have around 20 team members now.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm the only American. And then one of the other co-founders, Alexander, is Norwegian. But aside from that, everyone else is Vietnamese.
Oh, wow. Okay. And do you, like, all these, so they all tech people? Or they are, like, designer and then like other business department as well?
Yeah, so the kind of most of the team right now is kind of split between engineers, game engineers, and like artists. And then there's like product people and game designers kind of mixed in there as well.
I see. But then the market for you, the audience for this game is not only in Vietnam. This your market is, I remember you said that it's like mostly in Philippines, right?
Yeah, it's like, well, that's one of the interesting things about a decentralized application or a blockchain-based application is that because you're using cryptocurrencies as the transaction units within the game, you can launch to anyone from day one as long as they have internet connection and access to cryptocurrencies.
Yeah.
So our users are from all over the world. A lot of them are in the United States, Northern Europe, Australia. There's we have users in Japan, as you mentioned, the Philippines. We have, I think, there's a lot of like gamers in the Philippines, I think, because Manila has really bad traffic. That's my theory, at least.
Yeah. So because they have bad traffic, so they play your game more.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of games use Manila or it's the Philippines as a kind of a test market, because there's happen to be a lot of like mobile gamers there.
So. Yeah, well, I remember because I met one of your very active member, right, Kelly.
Ben.
And he mentioned something about blockchain game or Axie Infinity that very interesting or intrigued to me is that this is the kind of game where the user, they can contribute, like they can develop their new tech, like implementations of their own into the game. So that is very interesting. And I think that is very different from the traditional gaming industry, right?
Definitely. I think, because you know there's a lot of data on the blockchain and our API is totally open, you know what we've seen is that community members are building kind of like tools and different experiences on top of what we've built, right? So you can think of Axie as a game, but you can also think of it as kind of like an open protocol for building anything you want with these kind of cute internet creatures. So like I don't like to call it a game because I see it as so much more than that. And yeah, we've seen people build mini games. There have been a lot of like really important community tools, websites that have been built by kind of developers that aren't kind of like on the core team.
Yeah. Wow. And are those all of the games are can monetize, or just the main product from Axie team is the one that they can monetize on?
Yeah, there have been like several attempts at like small monetization so far. So like we want to be like relatively open, like within reason, like mm-hmm. to let people kind of experiment with different ways of, you know, monetizing their contributions to the mm-hmm. ecosystem. There's still a lot of experimentation and kind of things mm-hmm. around that. But eventually what we want to do is kind of like build an SDK mm-hmm. that makes it super easy.
What is SDK?
It's like a software development kit. Mm. So basically like a platform of tools that allow anyone to kind of seamlessly build on top of Axie. Mm. I know that right now, like there's a big trend where it's kind of like no-code tools too mm-hmm. that allow anyone to kind of build things. So I think that would be really cool mm-hmm. where you wouldn't necessarily even have to be like an engineer mm-hmm. To build cool stuff on top of Axie.
So. Wow, that's very awesome. So like a lot of, yeah, so as you mentioned earlier, right? So you were interested in blockchain, but then because most of the implementation is on finance or like maybe people are telling more about like supply chain or like traveling, mm-hmm. that's why you haven't like picked it up. But then like once you saw that blockchain can be actually implemented in gaming, then you were like, okay, this is really interesting and that's why you want to pick it up. So do you think, what is the biggest challenge right now for mass adoptions for blockchain? Is that like a lot of misconceptions or what is the challenge to mm-hmm. for blockchain to be implemented everywhere?
Sure, so I think there are a couple of things. So right now, we're still very early kind of days for this yeah. technology. So mm-hmm. there are a couple of things that need to be kind of smoothened out before mm-hmm. I think like the mass market consumer mm-hmm. Can kind of seamlessly mm-hmm. come in.
Yeah.
So one is scalability. So right now like blockchains, Ethereum is the kind of blockchain that's used most for kind of building consumer facing applications, but yeah. it's still quite slow. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I guess mass market users are not going to really understand like the idea of like having to wait for transactions to yeah. go through and things like that. So mm-hmm. that's one aspect that's kind of a roadblock. There's also kind of like wallet onboarding, right? Mm-hmm. So in blockchain, these applications are asking users to kind of get download MetaMask mm-hmm. and store these, I guess, like 12-word mm-hmm. Keys, right? You actually did that too,
yes.
right? And it's
mm-hmm.
and it's not really a kind of intuitive process, right? Mm-hmm. I think the other kind of missing piece is education. Like mm-hmm. people need to understand like what the benefits are mm-hmm. for interacting with these applications mm-hmm. because I think, you know, people will go through the steps if they understand like why they're doing it. But I mm-hmm. think right now, the benefits aren't really so clear to mm-hmm. to everyone, and the barriers are pretty high. So
I see.
That's kind of. But I think there's a lot of like amazing work that's being done to mm-hmm. kind of lower those barriers, and that's actually we also see a lot of what we're working on mm-hmm. as kind of building different solutions to those issues as well. Mm-hmm. So we see ourselves as a tech startup, not mm-hmm. just like a gaming project.
Yes. So I feel like we can say that Axie and Infinity is one of the displaying a role as helping the mass adoptions come faster for blockchain technology, right? So you basically implement blockchain and then a very cute, beautiful design so that people can attract to it and then they can use it, like not necessarily just to monetize, but just to pleasure or for entertainment. And from there, they can learn, okay, how, why is this blockchain and what happening here? Like, why is it useful for me to understand the technology behind it?
Definitely. I mean, I think you had like kind of a similar experience too, right?
Yeah.
Like I gave you some axes, mm-hmm. you started exploring around, and
yeah.
then I saw you also start interacting with like other decentralized applications as well.
Oh yeah, yeah, I did. So Jeff is the one that like for the audience to listen to this, then Jeff is the one who introduced me to really in blockchain. So before I met him, like I know about blockchain. I have tried to do research because I'm in logistics and supply chain. So I try to see how to implement it. But then because the technology is very early, so I decided it's not time for supply chain or logistics to take on that yet. But then I still keep in touch with that to see how it goes. And then like you helped me to be more exposed to what, right? What are the projects out there? And you gave me the book, The Internet of Money. So I able to grasp like, what is the technology or why is it important? And yeah, from there, I think I've tried Axie Infinity. I try, I don't know, like some trading
like,
exchange.
Like DYDX,
right? Yeah, DYDX.
Compound, too.
Compound, yes. Nice. All of those. But I haven't tried any other games. Cause
nice.
Yes, I stay with Axie, right?
cool, yeah. We just released a alpha for the application, so you can now play like on your on your phone.
Okay.
This is the first blockchain game that actually has like a working mobile application. Mm-hmm. We find that we're super excited about that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'll like tell you basically get you onboarded, so
okay.
You can now like do like way more fun things with your Axies, I think.
Oh wow, that's cool. So do you think that that mobile app will revolutionize your startup, gonna make it grow faster, or how do you see that mobile apps is very essential?
Yeah, we definitely see mobile applications as key to the kind of adoption of blockchain games. First of all, so blockchain games, I think like one of our advantages is going to be the ability to kind of iterate quickly and move fast.
Mm-hmm.
It takes like around 4 years to kind of build like a AAA quality kind of like PC application. You're going a desktop based application or game.
Okay.
Whereas I think mobile applications, people are kind of more used to like, you know, something cute, kind of like an RPG style, like card game, for example. I think that mobile first and mobile friendly is going to be very key for early blockchain and games to kind of gain adoption. And that's what we're seeing is that, you know, people love playing Axie on the go.
Mm-hmm.
And, I call playing Axie in the bathroom of your work, say for work mode. I definitely think that the application is a big step forward for the space.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually just in alpha right now, and we'll be rolling out more features, looking at the data, also implementing like a free to try version where you get starter axes that aren't tokenized, so you can kind of fall in love with the universe before you're asked to make any kind of like economic decisions. Right?
So it's like a more of a freemium model, basically?
Yeah, it's exactly. So most gamers aren't used to like basically having these days to have to like, you know, pay money to get started. So a lot of our current players are people who are familiar with cryptocurrencies, who kind of just understand the ethos of what we're trying to build.
Yeah.
Or they're people whose friends are those types of people and like kind of gifted them Axies, right? So that's something that is kind of keeping the community very, very kind of like tight knit.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, I think we'll be in the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of users once people can just, that looks like a cute game. Like I'm gonna download it on the App Store. I'm gonna try it out, and then be onboarded to the blockchain aspects to it.
Mm-hmm.
After they're already in love with the universe.
I see. That's very cool. So yeah. So the monetizations of the game is also one of the very interesting point, right? So for compared to other traditional game, then usually you have to pay to the developers or the game company to play it or to buy premium stuff. And then if you want to sell that, right, you build a very valuable account with a lot of gears and stuff, but then like you don't get to trade directly on the marketplace, but then you have to find people who are interested to it, and then you buy it, and then you sell it to them. So Axie is doing that. You are open to let users to trade the game like that. So how about like bots or like technologies implementation? So because the game is allow the developers or let anyone to, you know, build their own tools on it. So does it make more advantage for the game, or is that like it became an imbalance between the people who are tech savvy and then they build a tools to make them, you know, richer from Axie Infinity, but then the other user, like, they don't know about those?
That's definitely a good good point. So I think you touched on a couple of things there. So we are very focused on kind of empowering our users to be able to trade on a secondary market. So we've actually built a secondary market directly into our game. So you can find that at axieinfinity.com. And that's like one of the major features there is the kind of blockchain-enabled secondary market where anyone can, you know, list their Axie for sale and have it visible to anyone anywhere in the world, no matter what country they live in. We think that's a really powerful concept for gamers. And yeah, what we've seen is that, you know, the secondary market has allowed players to actually earn money by playing our game, which I think makes them really loyal, makes them really gives them kind of an incentive to evangelize as well. And then so the next thing that you touch on is kind of like, you know, are there basically users that are able to build themselves tools that kind of give them an unfair advantage? Yeah, that's something that we think about a lot. So there are people who have like built like pretty awesome tools. And the thing is, the vast majority of the tools have actually been given, like kind of given to the public. And people will often like maybe donate a little bit to the developers as well as kind of like a thank you for sharing them. So I think like, there are like very few instances I think of like someone saying like I'm gonna keep this for myself and like use it for a competitive advantage. I think like the incentive is to kind of share different tools that, you know, kind of empower the ecosystem and make it grow faster.
I see, that's very interesting. Okay, so we have a very brief understand, like we have a more understanding about Axie Infinity and how you guys are like helping blockchain to be more familiar to the mass, for the layman people that haven't understand the technology yet.
Sure.
So I want to ask, let's discuss more about like how Vietnam fit into that. That scene, like your planning and then like the development.
Yeah, so I think Vietnam is a great place to have a blockchain startup. There's a ton of great developers here, so the talent pool is really deep.
Does the tech developers here, they are all like blockchain gear, or like the company has to like train them and put on resource on them?
There's definitely a little bit of training that goes on. Also, like there are developers in our company, or you know, that don't touch blockchain at all, right? They're mainly focused on like game engineering or things like that. So yeah, I think, but there's actually a very famous project called Kyber Network. And the founder is actually Vietnamese. He studied in Singapore, but he's Vietnamese. So I think like blockchain development has kind of like an interesting, it's like a reputation as of being like pretty interesting, I think, in Vietnam. So yeah, I think there are really a lot of like really good developers that are interested in like learning more about it. I think I'm not an engineer, but I think like basically the space is so young that someone who's really smart and dedicated can kind of catch up pretty quickly, right?
I see. So I read this Vietnam blockchain report from Asia Blockchain Review, and they says Vietnam is very interesting. It's the top 8 biggest crypto market in the entire world for crypto exchange. Within 3 years, there are 3,000 startups in the blockchain space for the last 3 years, and a lot of names that are quite big in the industry, like Kyber Network or Tomo Chain or like Trip with 2i, they are all from Vietnam. So that's very interesting. But then do you see any challenge or obstacle of like doing it in Vietnam?
So I think Vietnam is really interesting. There are a lot of traders here. I think it's also because there's kind of a lack of like investment options. It's quite hard, I think, like as a Vietnamese to get like a brokerage account that allows you to trade like things like European or US equities, right? So I think like currency trading used to be like really popular here, right? So I think it's a natural fit for Vietnamese traders. I think like in terms of challenges,
legal adoptions
I don't want to like comment on like the kind of regulatory or legal aspects. Like it's been good. It's been good so far. So I think like, you know, there might be like a relatively like hands off kind of thing going on. So, but yeah, I've only ever worked at a Vietnamese blockchain startup, right? Uh-huh. So, you know, maybe like, you know, access to like investors and so a lot of our partners are overseas, so we can't like, you know, hang out with them. Like, I don't know, maybe if we were based in, you know, Singapore or Korea or San Francisco. So like we mainly get to see them when we travel for different conferences or things like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really do think that Vietnam is one of the best places in the world to have a blockchain startup right now.
Mm-hmm. Because of the how vibrant the market is.
Yeah, I think you know, it's been a bear market, so also the burn rate here is quite low.
Mm-hmm.
The talent pool is deep, and yeah, there is like also kind of there are like, you know, partners that exist here too, and there are other entrepreneurs in blockchain that are able to kind of bounce ideas off of. So
yeah, I think so too, because like so last year actually in Hanoi there's a blockchain conference that is host and endorsed by the government, and I from the report I saw like on Asian Blockchain Review, I also see that the government is actually building the framework to regulate it, but then like it's you know to allow the space to be more compliance with whatever the regulation is. But then yeah, so the for investing side, right, it's very interesting because blockchain is a new, and I think you point out a very interesting point is that in Vietnam there's not a lot of investing options. So a lot of people are looking into even like cryptocurrencies to invest. Like I remember the first time I got approached by an investor in crypto is my personal trainer in the gym. So he's telling me that his main job is like training people at the gym workout, but then like he's also save money and then like invest in cryptos, and they have even followers, people that like follow his investing philosophies. And so a lot of people are researching and trying to tap on it, but then also a lot of scam has happened. For last year there's like three big scam that I think they scam more than, in total they scam about 25,000 people. And wow. The amount of money in the biggest scam is $600 million.
Wow.
The amount. Crazy. Yeah. So I think definitely they need a more legal framework or maybe educations for the market so that people would understand what it is and they don't get trapped into company that do Ponzi scheme. They're trying to say, oh, this is the new market or this is the new investment project you should follow.
Definitely, definitely. Mm-hmm. So I study like economic history a little bit, and so what we've seen throughout history is that whenever it becomes easier to access capital, there are always kind of like waves of speculation and kind of fraud.
Yeah.
That's always happened, like, you know, when, for example, securities and basically stocks became a thing, you know, in England in like the late 17th century. There were, you know, massive bubbles and collapses.
Wow.
And but long term, you know, the, I guess, like making financial markets more open and more free has always led to like more innovation, more creation of wealth. It just so happens that, you know, when these things are introduced and when it becomes easier to raise money, and there's, you know, people don't really have the education to kind of analyze these different investment options. Oftentimes, yeah, there's kind of like shady stuff that happens. But in my opinion, the fact that there was such like a bubble around cryptocurrency actually shows that long term, this is a very promising field. And we saw that with the internet bubble in the United in the U.S. tech sector in the late 90s. We saw this around railroads in England during like the English Industrial Revolution. We even saw this with American equities during the Roaring 20s, which actually kind of foreshadowed how America would rise to become the dominant world superpower. So before we have like this explosion of kind of long-term growth, we often have these speculative bubbles that kind of end and, you know, kind of depressions or panics that last a couple of years. And we're currently like in the middle of that, or kind of, you know, trying to get out of that era. So who knows how long it'll last, but I'm seeing a lot of like really interesting projects pop up that are kind of, you know, bringing the benefits of blockchain to actual users. And I think that's how we kind of spread adoption and show the rest of the world, people who, you know, kind of only see the shady side of blockchain, that this space is about so much more.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's one of the statistics or like things I saw about blockchain application or startup is that 99% of them are like fail, right? So how do you, as an investor or maybe an end user, for example, in banking solutions or whatever, how do you able to pinpoint which one is more is credible enough to take your investment there or take make or like get take or send the money there?
So I generally, my approach to investing, I guess, is like I'll only invest in something that I like find useful myself. So like that, for example, like I'm actually with US equities, right? It's like, oh, like I use Facebook or Instagram, so like I should own Facebook stock. Like I use Netflix, like, yeah, maybe I should own Netflix. I have an iPhone, maybe I should buy Apple, right? So with blockchain, I just try and like use different projects. And then I can decide if I want to like basically invest in that, right? So right now, you know, I see I'm using a lot of like open finance or decentralized finance applications.
What is that for our audience?
So basically, they are kind of like trustless lending and borrowing platforms where you don't actually have to trust like a financial intermediary to kind of custody your assets or your cryptocurrency, and basically. You know, all of those applications currently exist on Ethereum. So so that's why I'm like really interested in Ethereum as an investment. That's also, you know, I was playing blockchain games and, you know, I thought that it was really interesting and compelling. That's why I decided to kind of invest my time and effort into the space as well.
I see.
So generally, yeah, like I don't, I'm not one of the those types of people who just kind of like, I don't know, maybe do some like research on the internet or like, you know, research the background of the founders, like that stuff, like it can look very polished, but I think you need to, as a consumer, kind of use the product and see whether it delivers a concrete real benefit to you. And if it happens to appeal to you and help you, then there's a good chance that'll help other people as well.
I see. Yeah, that's very interesting. So basically, do your research, like dive deep into the market, the product, to see, understand it, and then to see if it's a valuable investment or not. But like, if standing from an end user point, then do they really need to know that all these things are engineered or like or implement blockchain in it, or do they just need to see the benefit of it only?
Yeah, I think I strongly believe in just like pitching the benefits. And yeah, like I think like a lot of the problem with blockchain right now is people are like talking about the features and how everything works.
Yeah.
I think like the mass market people, they don't want to know all of that. Like they want to know like, how does this help me? How does this make my life better? So I think that's what we're really focused on with Axie too.
Yeah, I think that's very true. Because for me, as someone that like completely new to blockchain, I'm not very tech oriented. That I read the way they explain the features or how it works, it doesn't really matter to me. It's just like a lot of buzzword that I don't feel like I'm related to. I really don't understand it. And if I don't understand it, I wouldn't want to try it. I don't want to use it. Or maybe if it's finance application, I don't want to put my money on it. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to approach it.
Awesome. So let's touch the last point in this podcast. I would like, so in the book, The Internet Money, one of the term that he said, the author mentioned is infrastructure inversions. You know what it is?
Infrastructure inversions.
Basically,
no, explain it to me.
Okay. So basically what it means is that when there's a new technology, then on the early days, it has to ride on the infrastructure of the old technologies or like the old ways before it create conflict enough so that it has to revolutionize and then eventually create its own infrastructure. And then it carry the old infrastructure like the old technologies on the new infrastructure. For example, we have an example of the internet, right? So originally the internet is carried over the phone lines. So in Vietnam, I don't think that happened, but I think US, the originally, if you want to like go on like surf internet, you have to call the number,
like dial up.
Yeah, you have to dial up, and then like you search instead of the internet. But now the phone industry or the telecom communications has developed that. So for those phone companies that provide internet service, they become the internet service provider, and then like they become more data oriented. And now the entire infrastructure of telecom is using internet to carry a phone. So instead of phone lines, now every call that you make is going through internet. So do you think that, so because blockchain is very broad, right? They said that it could be implemented in a lot of space. So let's take blockchain and gaming. Do you see that, is there an infrastructure version right now in gaming industry? And how do you see it like adopt, or like how do you evolve the gaming industry in the future?
Yeah, definitely. So I think one of the problems with like early blockchain games is that they were kind of like not even using like the existing infrastructure of games, right? So like they're using like things from like 2001. Like for example, like everything was browser based, right? So like CryptoKitties was like a blockchain game, but it was how did you play? You go to CryptoKitties.co, like a website, and you kind of like just buy and sell the cats, right? So I think like what we're one of our innovations is that, you know, we actually are using Unity, which is basically an ability to build a game on multiple platforms like desktop, mobile, and an actual application, not something that runs within a web browser, right?
Yeah.
I think like we're right now at the stage where we figured out how to basically hook up blockchain to kind of like the existing like gaming infrastructure, and now we're going to be able to kind of see these hybrid games exist. And I think like the kind of traditional gaming companies, they're quite happy. Like the gaming industry is doing like relatively well. There are definitely some places where things could be improved, but the kind of incumbents are, you know, I think relatively happy with where they're at right now. So. They may be curious in blockchain, but I think it's really going to take kind of like grassroots efforts from like small kind of indie game developers to kind of illustrate the successful case studies that those bigger companies can then go and emulate. And I think, you know, they are going to be coming to the early success stories for help. And I think, you know, that's one of the interesting things about our business is that, you know, we want to make Axie very successful. And then I think, you know, our business then becomes very attractive as something that a larger company would want to kind of acquire or something like that long term.
Wow, I see. Very interesting. Yeah, I see. Well, my guess on the gaming industry and blockchain, I think that one of the things that like the way that you guys, for example, you guys allow the user or the community to build on top of the game. I think that's is something very interesting because like the game, most of the time, like you play and then you all the features or the levels are from the developers themselves. But then now, because there's a community that able to build on top of it, you're able to develop this one game universe to be so big, much bigger, and then like it creates much more values. And then even the gaming, right? So right now we have esport, right? Esport is professional gamers, and they are monetizing from gaming, or they building their career by streaming, or like let people see the battles. But then you guys also allow the user to monetize it by just spending spend time on it, and then you can harvest this by just hard work, right? And those would be much more suitable for gamers who are like camera shy, they don't want to be on streaming, that can still be monetized and they can still see their fruitful success from it, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like right now in traditional gaming, like people, you know, very high skilled gamers are able to make money, and then content creators like streamers are able to make money, but it's very hard for the kind of everyday user to go out there and like basically cash in on their time and effort.
Yes.
So I think we're doing a lot of like interesting experiments related to that mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And then yeah, I think like user generated content is very important for blockchain games. Fits really well with the ethos. And
ethos
kind of like the spirit, mm-hmm. Spirit of what we're trying to go for.
I see.
So yeah, I think like the idea of truly owning like, you know, the game assets, mm-hmm. it kind of aligns the incentive so that they're not just doing it out of passion, but they're also doing it out of kind of monetary incentive in a way, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome. I think that's a wrap for us. Thank you, Jeff, for coming here today. We learned a lot about Axie Infinity, and also we learned about like how you guys operating in Vietnam and how Vietnam is one of the very interesting market to be in for, especially in the blockchain view. Axie is actually taking a very different approach for blockchain implementations compared to all the others startup out there, from instead of going to finance or like every other very infrastructure systems, then they're taking a role as the leader to make blockchain become more mass adoption through gaming, through entertainment, and through making it's easier to for not only tech savvy, but for normal people just to play the games, to understand it, and to finally discover the technology behind it.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me, and I wish you a lot of luck, or yeah, best wishes with the podcast. I think it's gonna be a really good one. So.
Yeah, thank you. This episode is brought to you by Waves. Waves is an audio platform for Vietnam and Indonesia. They are building a super app for all things audio. Audio books, podcasts, online education, and entertainment with a focus on local language content. Personally, I love Waves because I've been using them in my free time. Whenever I go to the gym, instead of listening to music, I will listen to many of my favorite podcast shows in business, lifestyle, and comedy, all in Vietnamese. This is infotainment at its best. Check them out at waves8.com. That is WAVES 8, as in number 8, .com.